Yes. Okay, Danny, Tina, come on now. We can fill in a little bit here. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Stay where you are then, Tina. You want to be by the cool air. Some want to be by the cool air. Some want to be by air. Thank you for your cooperation. Does everybody have a copy of the notes? Good. All right, I'm well aware that some of you have already started eating your lunch by faith. So. Just keep it in the bag for a little bit. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that you're always doing amazing things, and we're excited about, Lord, what's coming in Uganda and Rwanda and Congo and some of the other nations around about. But we're really excited about what you're doing here and the great position that we're in, the adventure that we're on, and Lord, what you're teaching us and training us, Lord, to be a people of great faith for the last days, Lord, when all kinds of trouble abound and there's all kinds of human limitations and persecution and opposition and all that craziness. Lord, we know that you gave us faith so that we could shine. We could be a revelation of how powerful and loving our God is. Help us today, Lord, as we continue in this lesson. Lord, may each of us learn, receive from you, hear from you, and Lord, most of all, mix what we hear with faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 27 and verse 25 says, we've been reading this verse at the beginning of the message, and you know the story. Paul has a dream, and they come into a place where the ship they're on is about to wreck. And he says this, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen. Everybody say, will happen.
It will happen.
It doesn't say it has happened. He didn't say it's happening right now. He says it will happen. Sometimes the promise isn't immediately manifested, but it's still a promise. Hello? So he says, I have faith that it will happen just as he told me. And so if you want a different scenario for your life, you have to hear from the Lord. And when you hear from the Lord, you might not see the immediate physical manifestation of the promise, but he said it and he doesn't lie. So our part is to hear from him, receive and believe what he says. His part is to perform. You know, there's been so many miracles in this house, and I'm reminded them often. And in every kind of area of life, there have been miracles. I was thinking recently about a couple who I don't attend here any longer, but they came at the time. And they had no children. They desperately wanted a child. And there were some very serious physical problems. The wife became pregnant. They went to have her first scan, and they said, it doesn't look good. Remember what did I tell you? It was the first lesson to say no, didn't I? You got to say no. You have, so let's just have a little practice now. No.
No.
Say it again. No. You see, if you don't say no, you are in effect saying, okay. No, you wouldn't consciously say, yes, I'll have the trouble that's coming my way. I've been looking for it all day. But the default position of not saying no is saying, okay. I grant you permission. I accept you. So anyway, they went to the doctor and wherever they went to, midwife or the hospital, had the scan. They said, no, this isn't good. But we'll wait a little bit. They waited a bit for the second scan. No, this is really seriously wrong. The fibroids are preventing this child from developing properly in the womb. And it seems like the fibroids are growing and this infant is getting smaller. So it's, instead of going this way, and I think the third scans when they came to see me, I didn't know the situation until they told me. And I said, so what did the doctor say? And they said, well, they recommend that we have an abortion because this could be a serious issue if you don't. Now, I'm not a doctor, as you know. But I could see how much they were betwixt and between. And that's kind of the position in life, isn't it? You have a set of circumstances that are unpleasant, to say the least, but you also have the fact that you're a Christian and you believe in God. And so I could see this war in their faces. They didn't believe in having an abortion, but the science said, remember what I said about voices? Everybody follows a voice, whether it's a good voice or a bad voice. In every area of life, you'll follow a voice, one or the other. So I could see how much in consternation. So what's my job? My job is just like your job when you face anybody else who is in a dilemma. And your job and my job isn't to offer them 100% pure, unadulterated sympathy. Come on now. Because remember, I said the world system is one way. When people in trouble comes, we say, well, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry about that, you know. That's the world system. But we're not in that system. You're saying, Pastor, we shouldn't be sympathetic? Maybe for the smallest thing that is inconsequential. What you should be is encouraging. Sympathy isn't necessarily encouraging. It's just letting that person know, I feel for you. I care about you. All those are good messages. But what if you went to the surgeon and, you know, you need an operation and he said, oh, I feel bad about that. He'd say, shut up and do the surgery. Wouldn't you? You don't want his sympathy. You want his surgery. You want the thing that's going to make the difference. And that's a mistake sometimes we make. We offer something that isn't what they really need. It's in the human scope of things. It's appropriate. It's normal. It's natural. It's what people do, you know, that are, you know, decent human beings. But we're generally sympathetic. But remember what I said? This is the mentality. Hello. It's a different mentality. This is not the mentality of a fait accompli. Does everybody know what a fait accompli is? It's a small insect that only is found in certain parts. No. It means it's a done deal. It's too bad. No. So what's my job? My job is to get a hold of something inside of them that is the most precious thing they possess. And that is their faith. Because I can, you see, the Bible says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. And another passage, it says, holding on to your faith. In life, trouble comes to get you to surrender your faith. And then just take it. That doesn't feel good. But yeah, but that's normal. It happens to everybody. It just happens, doesn't it? So here's what I said to him. I could have offered him sympathy. Just like you. But I knew that something needed to happen inside of them. They possessed what they didn't think they had. It had to be awakened. That's why Paul talks about being mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's why you need to walk with people. Because sometimes when you're kind of struggling in the battle and you're not sure, somebody comes alongside and says, "Yes, come on!" Like I told you about my dad. You know, saw so many miracles. And then when he's suffering with cancer and he's surrendered to it. And my mother spoke in a way to him that she never ever spoke to him. She said, "Jim, all these years you've been telling us about faith and now it's your turn, you're crying. Stop that. Believe God." And he did. And his cancer disappeared. So anyway, so there they are in front of me. I said, "Let me ask you a question. What do you believe?" What was I doing? I didn't want them to tell me how they felt. I wanted them to tell me what they believed. What do you believe? Is this what you believe? You know, we've got to be reminded. In fact, where's Tina? Tina, I'd like to give you an assignment. I want you to check out for me having a button made that says, "Nothing will be impossible for me." And if there's anybody that's brave and courageous, we'll all get one and wear it. Some of you are saying, "Well, I don't know about that." Come on now, this is school. You've got to take a lesson that's beyond where you've been, otherwise you don't grow up. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Grow up." Okay. I got to rush here. So I said, "What do you believe?" What I wanted them to do was I wanted them to do something that's so important part of their faith. I wanted them to say what they believed. I wanted them to have a confession. Because faith speaks. Faith speaks a certain way. It's a different kind of language. It's not the language of negativity. It's not the language of, "Well, there's nothing that can be done." It's a different kind of language. And you have to say it. Sometimes when you don't feel like saying it, and when all the circumstances and the pain and the history and the medical and everything is opposite, you've got to say what you believe. Because your spirit and your mouth are tied together. So I said, "What do you believe?" I want them to make their confession. And they both looked at me and they said, "Pastor, we believe in healing." I said, "That's it." I said, "That's it. That's settled. Right there. You said it. You believe in healing. I believe in healing. New Life Bible Church believes in healing. We stand with you, agree with you. It's done. It's finished. Go home. You'll have your baby signed." Well, wasn't that kind of dismissive? It wasn't dismissive with no help. If they heard the word of the Lord, they would go away with a miracle. And that's exactly what happened. They went back. Said they carried on. And even though the midwife said, no, you need to get this abortion. And then they went for the next scan. And they said, "There's something about this scan that's... this child seems to be growing now. And these fibroids seem to be shrinking." Tough kid. No, mighty God. They went back for the next scan. This child is now the normal size for its development for the length of time you've been pregnant. Well, long story short, I dedicated the child. And they've had another child since. What am I telling you? Is that God wants us to work with a different perspective about whatever it is we face in life. So in Paul's situation there, they were looking at shipwreck and from a human point of view, death. But he said, no, that's okay, guys. That's okay. Don't worry. It'll happen just like God told me. You'll all be saved. No, we won't lose anybody. So we've been looking at this subject about faith. Faith thinks. You got to think like God. You got to be a person that gets into the Bible. Let me tell you, you never know when you're going to need the Bible. So if you don't get into the Bible, you won't have it when you need it. So faith hears. Faith comes by hearing. And Matthew 4 and verse 4 says that you learn to live your life by hearing from the Lord. It's your daily walk of faith. It's hearing God's voice. On page 5 in your notes, it says faith sees. Faith sees. You have to see something different than what you see with your natural eyes. The Bible says this. It says, we come to God, believe that He is, and that He rewards us. But Hebrews tells us God is invisible. So you go to an invisible person and you believe that He exists. I believe He exists. Got a lot of evidence around here. And that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. In other words, He responds positively to you. So you have to see in a different level. And as we mentioned to you, so many examples of this in the Bible. God spoke to Gideon and He said, Gideon, mighty warrior. Gideon's like, what? Is anybody else here by Gideon? No. I'm talking about you, the mighty warrior, the guy that's been hiding out here and trying to just survive with your family. I'm calling you a mighty warrior because that's how I see you. God says, I see you as a mighty warrior. I see you as a mighty warrior. And that's what I'm calling you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God sees you as a mighty warrior. Say it again, God sees you as a mighty warrior. One more time, God sees you as a mighty warrior. You may not see yourself that way, but that's how God sees you. And if God sees you that way, then that's what you need to see. You begin to look at God's description of you. I remember a great testimony about a woman who had a goiter on her neck, and it got quite large. And she went in her prayer time and she asked the Lord to heal her. And according to Mark 11, 23 and 24 that we quoted a few minutes ago, or referred to a few minutes ago in the offering. Yes. Some of you remember. I know it was a long time ago. She believed that she received her healing. Well, the goiter had gotten pretty big on her neck. Ugly thing. She went to church service and she was so happy. And some of the sisters were like, well, why are you so happy? She said, God, heal me. And they looked at her like, yeah, okay. One of those. And so she went to the following week, and she was still happy. And they said, aren't you going to get something done? She said, about what? What do you mean about what? That big goiter on the side of your neck. She said, God, heal me. So one of the older white-haired ladies said, I'll talk to her. She needs a little instruction. So they took this woman on the side. And she said, everybody here can see you haven't been healed. So you need to stop saying that because it makes you look ridiculous. Come on now. Ridiculous is what we are in the eyes of the world because we don't live the way they live. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. But you've got all your stuff together. You're moving. Yeah. Where are you going? I don't know. You're crazy, man. Sit still until you know. No, I got to go. You lost it. We'll get some tablets for you. And that's what I said to this woman. Everybody sees you are not healed, and it's making you look ridiculous when you say you are. So the woman, she was, I know I'm healed. So all the older white-haired women do. Okay, fine. You want to be wacky? Be wacky. But it kind of bothered her that other people weren't with her in her journey. So she goes home and she's getting ready the following weekend to go to service. And she's standing in front of the mirror, as women are sometimes known to do, putting her makeup on. And she has this little conversation with the Lord. She says, "Lord, I know you've healed me. I know you've healed me. Would you show everybody else you've healed me?" And she no sooner said it than the goiter fell on the floor. And there was no scar on her neck. Then they could see what she could see. You see, our natural eyes are tied to the natural world. But this is not connected to a natural way of thinking. A natural way of thinking. Faith sees. You say, "Okay, that's a great story, Pastor. Do you have any verses?" Yes, I know, and my time is almost up. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, basically, you become like God if you behold him. You worship the Lord, you behold God in your glory, and you're transformed into his image. And so somebody comes into, "Well, why do you worship?" Well, we want to behold God. That's what worship's all about. It's about beholding God. It's closing your eyes and seeing the invisible. It's seeing the invisible God. And you have to, you can do this with spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes, where are those? Well, you have them if you're a Christian. You don't have them if you don't. And so you worship God. And the Bible gives us an awesome promise. It says, the more you behold me, the more you become like me. We have this sort of transaction that takes place. And so you learn to see differently. Hebrews 11:27 refers to those people of faith whom the Bible says they saw him who is invisible. That seems like a contradiction of truth. How do you see something that's invisible? Well, you don't see him with this eyes. You see them with spiritual eyes, or eyes of faith. So you have to see it differently. You have to see differently. 2 Corinthians 4:18, let's just move there quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You only have light problems." Well, that's what the Bible says. Your problems are light, just really light. Verse 18, "So we fix our eyes..." We fix our eyes not on what is seen. You guys have been looking at my goiter. I've been looking at my neck perfectly whole. Because God said, "I'm healed." God told me, "I'm healed." I'm healed. You see this? I see. So we fix. It's not an optional thing. It's not a suggestion, a good idea. He says, "So we fix our eyes." You got to fix your eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Unseen to the natural eyes. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's a different reality. It's a different reality. So you can embrace the reality that you can see with only these natural eyes. You can have that. That's what the doctor said. You can have that reality. That can be your reality. That's the one you can embrace. Or you can say, "No, I see something else. I see something else." Let's look at James 1:23. James 1:23. Get a picture. Different. One man was dying. He said, "I the only thing I know to do is to read the Bible." So he found a verse in the Bible, and he just started reading that verse over and over again. And you know what happened? Pretty soon, he didn't have a picture of himself dying in his bed, but the doctor said, "There's nothing that can be done for you." He had a picture of himself doing all the stuff that he used to do before he was sick. And One day, he got up out of his bed totally well. He saw something different. And you see, you got to align your whole body in faith. It's got to be what you think. It's got to be what you say. It's got to be what you see and what you act upon. James 1:23 says, anyone who listens to the word does not do what it says. It's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So a mirror is supposed to reflect back to you an accurate image, a realistic picture of who you are or what you look like. And then the next verse he says, really, the real mirror I'm talking about is not the kind you put your makeup on with or whatever, take it off with. It's a real mirror is the Word of God. So you look into the Word of God, and that's what gives you the accurate reflection of who you are and what you have. So how many of you would look at the Bible and say, well, the Bible says here I should be sick and poor and struggling and... No. I would that you prosper and be in health. Is that the picture you got? You're looking into that kind of mirror. But listen, it says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law. There's no flaws in this one. It gives you the correct picture. It gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard. So he looks and he hears. He looks and he hears. But doing it, that's hearing, seeing, and doing, he'll be blessed. He'll be blessed. Faith speaks. And faith speaks what has been received is done. As we mentioned to you last week, Romans 4:17, the Bible says, God calls those things that are not as though they are. So the woman says, I'm calling myself healed because God said I'm healed. And you look at my neck and you see the goiter, but I say I'm healed. So that's, I'm speaking faith. You're not seeing faith. I'm seeing faith and I'm speaking faith and I'm acting as faith. I'm acting like I got no problem. I don't need to go to the doctor and get surgery. I'm thinking, I'm speaking, I'm acting, I'm doing faith. That's my lifestyle, and that's the nature of being a faith person. A person that has this kind of mentality is you get your head right, you get your eyes right, you get your mouth right, and you walk it out as though it was true, and it is true. So let me just close with this point and on the speaking of faith. You see, Jesus called those things that are not as though they are. Once again, this is a different mentality. In the world, this world calls those things that are as though they are. So we see somebody with a runny nose, we say, oh, you have a cold. Yeah, that's pretty obvious. It's blowing your nose, your eyes are red. We call those things that are as though they are. God says, no, when you come in to live in my family, it's a little different. We call those things that are not as though they are. So Jesus was commanded by the Father to speak to Lazarus. Was Lazarus dead? How many believe Lazarus was dead? Yes. Lazarus was dead, 4 days dead. He wasn't just kind of, having a sneaky sleep. He was 4 days dead. He was 4 days dead. So Jesus spoke to Lazarus. There was no, on the chest with the electric things. Jesus said, Lazarus. Now, what was he doing? He was talking to a dead man as though a dead man could hear and respond. Have you ever done that? Gone to the cemetery and said, okay, all you guys, come on. We're going home. Pastor, don't be ridiculous. Let me tell you, there's coming a day when that'll happen. Why? Because the Bible says, the dead shall hear. Ooh, that kind of flies in the face of science. Doesn't it? Jesus called those things that are not as though they were. So he said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man got up and came out. That's a different world. That's the world we're called to live in. Is to call those things that are not as though they are. You see, you believe that you received it and... As Mark 11:23 says, and you will have it. Believe that you have received it and you'll have it. Believe that you've received it, it'll be yours. Now, I want to close with this little criticism. I sometimes get amused at believers who say, oh, I don't believe in any of that blab-it-grab-it stuff. I say, you don't? And it's kind of a crude and rude way of criticizing a viewpoint you don't understand, but you actually practice. What they're really trying to say is, I don't really believe that you can actually say something and have it. Oh. That's not a brand of faith that I agree with. Blab it and grab it. So it's an epithet, it's a way of characterizing people who are people of faith. And I say to them, oh, are you a born again Christian? Yes. I said, well, then you are a blab it, grab it person. You are. You're a blab it, grab it person. Because that's how you got started. You heard the message. And then the Bible says you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So when you confessed with your mouth, you grabbed salvation with both hands and you walked away with a miracle to last you a lifetime in eternity. So it's important to grasp this. Is it faith as a language? It has a language. Use the wrong language and you won't go where you want to go. You won't go where you want to go. So, the Bible says, if you confess, what's the word confess mean? It means to say the same thing as. If you confess your sin, you say the same thing about your sin that God says about it. If you confess your healing, you say the same thing about your healing that God says about your healing. So every transaction, and that's what faith is. Faith is a transaction that something is taking place in the invisible realm. Faith is a transaction. Believing that there is a transaction. Let me put it this way. Faith is a sense of certainty that a spiritual transaction is taking place in the invisible realm. You do this in a natural realm all the time. You go into a shop and you decide what you want. And you give them your debit card. You don't have any credit cards, I know. You got rid of those. You give them your debit card. Now, you give them your debit card, you put it in the machine, and you push a few numbers that all account to, that all match up with the letters F-A-I-T-H. No, that's your code, isn't it? Your PIN number, F-A-I-T-H. It is, really. You push those PIN numbers. And now, as you're standing there in the shop, can you see the computers going, nee, 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 nee. Let's see, go over here, get out of this Janet's account, move the money over here into Sainsbury's account. Can you see that? It's invisible, but does it take place? Of course it does. When you see your statement, it says, yeah, Sainsbury's, 7,500, no. You made a transaction, didn't you? You made a transaction. And you're certain of it. You carry you don't get arrested for stealing because you're certain you made a transaction. And that's what faith is. Faith is a certainty that a spiritual transaction is taking place. So the story I started with, the woman with the goiter, she said, I believe, I asked Jesus to heal me, and according to the word of God, He healed me, and so I'm healed. So this transaction took place. It's invisible, but I see it. I've seen myself healed, and so I'm saying I'm healed. I'm thinking I'm healed. I'm acting like I'm healed, and so I'm healed. And other people say, no, that doesn't work. You can't live this way and the old way at the same time. The Bible says if you do, you're like a person with two lives. A life of faith is aligning your head, your thoughts, your eyes, your speech, and your actions. So she was happy to go back to the service and worship the Lord. The only thing that bothered her was that people were pestering her about her condition. But she believed, she was certain a transaction had taken place. And that's where God wants us all to get. So that we just come to the bank of heaven and we stick in our faith.